Hello, welcome to Spotlight, a warm glow of creative light in the early autumn.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, it's almost that time again, LitFest 2025, nearly upon us. We get a sneak preview of what's happening. We hear about some wonderful waves of wonder now gracing the island's shores. And one of the island's best-known singers tells us about the benefits of musical chairs. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you might be involved in planning, hoping to create or would really like to put in that spotlight this programme. Theatre, poems, music, literature, ceramics, sculpture, drag, film, mime, social media, all the rest. Calligraphy, that was a good one, need more of that. Get in touch, howardcain@maxradio.com, Kane with an E, or spotlight@maxradio.com. Love to hear from you. Get you on the show. Why not? Cost you nothing. Lovely to hear from you. Get the arts out there. What's not to like? Can it really be autumn? I'm sure we were looking forward to summer events just a couple of weeks ago, but autumn it is, would you believe? And if proof were needed, one of the great literary events on the island is fast approaching. LitFest 2025 gets underway on the 23rd of this month. To find out more, I spoke to LitFest's Reiki Bennett.
We've got a whole raft of different folks coming over. We've got some events returning for another year. We've got our staples like the quiz and the Celebration of Poetry, which is our big poetry event on the Saturday evening, which is I'm sure you're aware of.
I did see that. Yeah,
yes.
I spotted that one.
Yeah, yeah. It's always a fantastic evening. It's just a, like it says, a celebration of poets. It's sort of an open night. Like you can apply, you can put your name down to read a short poem, just 2 or 3 minutes, and everyone gets to vote on their favourite poems, and there's prizes and all sorts. And this year it's hosted by Mark Grist, who has been over before. He's an absolutely amazing poet. Absolutely adore him. He's really great fun to listen to. He's going to be comparing the Celebration of Poetry on the Saturday night. He's also doing a solo event on the Sunday tea time down at the Erin Arts Centre as well. He's great to listen to.
And also see on the 28th we've got our own Michael Manning, former bard, of course, leading a workshop.
That's right. Down at Windsor Coffee House on the promenade, he's doing a little workshop for us about poetry. So that's going to be really fantastic. He's an amazing poet, and it's just so great that we're able to incorporate some of the local authors and local talent to help us out. Everyone's been so amazing to help us out with this, because it is really a celebration of Manx authors as well as our visiting authors.
And I think, again, I mean, there's no shortage of literary talent on the island, but you're right, I suppose, unlike, you know, music and the sort of performing arts, quite often the literary arts, if people are writers or poets, I mean, we do see more poetry cropping up now, but I think particularly writers, it's more of a solitary pursuit, I suppose, to a degree, isn't it? If you're reading, if you're writing, until you actually get material out there, and events like this where you share it with like-minded folk and members of the public, it can be a bit of a solitary pursuit in a way.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why one of our returning events is always Writer's Day on the Saturday. That's a full day of talks and workshops and panels, and it's aimed at everyone who's an aspiring author or a writer. We've got folks from all over the island who attend for that, and we've got people who are just starting out their writing journey, all the way up to people who are published with books deals under their belt and just want to come along and immerse themselves in the community and learn a little bit more about writing. And we've got Joanne Clegg, who's another amazing local author. She's doing a workshop with her agent, Kate Nash, is coming over as well. They're going to be doing a workshop together for us at Writer's Day. We've also got Sue King, who's got her amazing new cookbook out. Joe Davis, like you said, Michael Manning is doing the poetry for us on the Sunday. We're incredibly lucky with the Manx community who are able to like pull behind us. And yeah, we've got an amazing talent pool on this island.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, like you say, Joanne, I think, is on books 4 or 5 or 6. I've lost track now, actually.
Oh, yes. She's a powerhouse. She's amazing.
Churns them out at an incredible rate. Mm. And you mentioned Kate Nash there. And again, that's a great chance. You can sort of book a pitch with Kate, I think, and really learn if you're... As you say, if you have written stuff, you're doing things, you're thinking, I wonder how I get it out there. This is a great chance to find out.
That's exactly it, because it's not a chance that you really have on the island to, you know, go and network with literary agents and stuff. A lot of them are, well, most of them based across, a lot of them in London and things like that. And it is a unique opportunity for you to be able to get one-to-one feedback on your writing, on your submission, if you are looking to publish, if you are just wanting a bit of feedback on what you're doing with it, how to prepare for maybe putting it out in the wider world. It is a wonderful way to get a little bit of feedback from it. And we've had some wonderful success stories from it, people who have talked to an agent and, you know, been able to then go out and start pushing themselves forward and start looking towards publication.
And I see that you're actually doing something on the art of crime writing.
That is indeed correct. Yes, I am going to be interviewing Claire McIntosh and MJ Arledge, who are two amazing crime writers. I am extremely excited about that. You can probably tell that's on the Thursday evening, Thursday the 25th of September, up in Ramsey. And I'm going to be chatting to them and just talking about their books and probably getting far too overexcited because I've read their books by them both, and they are just extremely good. There are so many amazing writers doing some wonderful work in terms of crime novels that are coming out at the moment, not just police procedurals, but you've got like cozy crime, a bit of a, you know, tea and a murder and some crumpets. Yeah, and it's, oh, there's Love a whole it. Swathe of things going on. It's really fascinating to see. So, yes, I'm excited for that.
And this looks a little bit different as well. Illustration, because obviously the two go hand in glove in many ways, literature or writing and illustration as well. And I think it's Pauline Hazelwood coming over and doing a sort of creating a cartoon scene. So this is live, I think, with ideas from the audience.
That's exactly it. Yes, we've got 3 events that day down at Douglas City Library, who are being really fantastic hosting for us those events. And Pauline Hazelwood will be doing... Like you say, it's a bit of a draw along, using ideas from the audience to sketch things. I'm not sure exactly what it will be. It's going to be a bit of a surprise for us as well. So I'm really looking forward to it. But her books, Polar Bear and Sea Lion, set on the Isle of Man, of course. So it's got that link in there. We've also got poetry workshop just before that about mythical creatures and poetry with local orphan poet Jacqueline Shirtliff. And then after that, for slightly older kids, we've got a storytelling workshop with Kyle Withington, who is from the island as well. And he has a podcast called Mona's Isle. And he'll be working with slightly older children developing stories and storytelling. All of those events are free. You just need to book via the Manx Lit Fest website.
And we can't finish without mentioning the school's day as well, and that this whole... educational aspect, and I suppose inspiring young people coming through to get involved in reading and indeed in writing.
Yeah, that's very much what we want to do. We have a firm commitment to, you know, encouraging literature and love of reading and writing on the island, and part of our commitment to the community there is that we will send as many of the visiting authors and local authors into the local schools as we possibly can. They will chat to classes, they will all do little assemblies. We've had all sorts going on, and it's just in terms of, you know, really providing something to the children that will hopefully spark this love of reading and writing on storytelling in all its forms throughout their life, because it is such a useful thing for kids to be able to pick up at an early age and run with throughout their lives. So we're hoping we can do our bit towards that.
Sounds terrific. The nitty gritty then, people sort of, they might have seen things around already, the programmes, and lovely programmes already out and available. What do people need to do if they want to go along to any or many or maybe all of these events?
Absolutely, as many of them as you want to. You can have a look at our website, which is manxlitfest.com. All of the tickets are available online on Ticketsource. That's ticketsource.co.uk/manxlitfest. And you can, or if you just want to drop us an email, the address is manxlitfest@gmail.com, and we'll And yeah, but all of the tickets are available on there.
Litfest runs through until the 28th of September in venues around the island. Programmes are available, so pick one up if you're out and about and try and support whatever events you can get to. Without your support, of course, these sort of festivals won't happen. Wonderful Portico Quartet from their album Art in the Age of Automation, a unique group which defies categorization to a large degree. Minimalist, ambient, jazz, electronica, well, all the above and more, and I've been listening to various iterations of the group for, well, more years than I care to remember after first seeing them busking on the South Bank in London. As we heard on last week's Spotlight from the Arts Council's Martin Kane, there's a rare chance, nay, unique, to see them here on the Isle of Man in what is being billed as their only gig this year in the British Isles, in the intimate setting of the King's Court Theatre at King Bill's. Supporting the Portico Quartet, the Manx improvised electronic music act Kitterland, and Isle of Man-based soundscapetress Soundology. Whole evening presented by a new name to the island, Waves of Wonder, the brainchild of Cornelia Dahlgren. To find out more, I spoke to the woman behind the waves. Or should that be riding the waves? I'm not sure.
Waves of Wonder is our initiative to cultivate contemporary music on the island and help light an imaginary spark within the creative community.
Okay, and what was the background to this then? Have you worked in that sort of in the creative industries hitherto?
Yes, I think it started very early. I grew up on an island in the south of Sweden, and it wasn't much unlike the Isle of Man actually. I craved artistic stimulation, and we had beautiful landscapes just like here, soothing quiet, but it was really hard to see how those compositions in my head could be anything but stuck in my own mind. I think it took many years to find my tribe of music lovers, and that led me to end up in London and pursue my music career there. I think music was not only an interest, it was for me a way of being, of processing and understanding the world around me. And I realised that I wasn't alone. This is something that a lot of people feel with the arts. It's a way of interpreting and understanding life in general, really.
And you said you were in music in London. Were you performing, singing, playing, producing?
Yes, I was lucky to meet some amazing creative people there. I had been working in Stockholm for a while, and I felt like I needed to really find my own people. And I met a wonderful guy called Jamie Woon, who said that you should come over here and meet my friends. And I got in contact with Portico Quartet, Nick Mulvey, all these very emotionally apt musicians that I felt really had the passion for what music really stands for. So I think that just made me feel that I needed to pursue music, and I started writing for lots of different artists. I wrote music for Bonobo, Dark Sky, Scratcher DVA, and a song actually for Portico Quartet, which it ended up being the first song that they ever had a vocalist on, and it was a beautiful collaboration.
And are you an instrumentalist, a composer, obviously, a writer of music? Do you sing yourself? Do you play an instrument?
So I think my instrument is my voice, but it's also about storytelling, and so that's probably my strength. Providing melody and lyric that that tells a story.
So fast forward then, so Sweden to London, and then London now to the Isle of Man. So did Waves of Wonder, was that started after you moved to the island, or had you started that in London?
I think the idea of it started already as I grew up. I knew that I wanted to do something that I felt like I missed growing up. And whilst living in London, everything was focused on touring, writing, just getting by in the big city. And as me and my husband and my daughter came over here and decided to settle down, as they say, I all of a sudden realised that I now had the chance to contribute in a different way. Yeah, I'm hoping that I can reach out to local communities that maybe don't feel like they're being seen or heard.
So here you are now on the Isle of Man, and we've got the first gig coming up, as we've been talking about, the Portico Quartet playing down at King's Court, down in King Bill's, in the lovely theatre there. But it's, again, there's the support, but again, for you, it's not really just sort of a case of, right, here's an act from across and here's support. You're very keen to sort of integrate the two and have this idea of supporting local talent. So you've got Soundology and Josh there, and also bringing bands across. And this is something that you're aiming to develop?
Well, I couldn't have done this if I didn't see the potential that the island has. So Kitterland and Soundology are both like world-class artists, in my view. And currently it's quite hard to get across, as they say. And I think it's just lovely to be able to showcase the quality of what we have on the island and try and really stimulate that feeling of pride and belonging.
And so this will be the first one. Are you hoping then going forward to do more gigs? Are you looking to sort of do a gig a year or more than that? Or that how is that going to go forward?
Yes, that's definitely the aim for this. I'm so blessed to have the support from the Isle of Man Arts Council. They've been super helpful in helping me understand what I need to move forward. And fingers crossed that we can make this happen again next year. But that really depends on this event. I'm really hoping that people will seize this opportunity. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see a world-class act on a small stage in a beautiful sort of Hogwarts-looking castle.
It is a great place, and a lovely theatre as well. A
exceptional,
lovely intimate space for the artists to play. And are you going to? Because I think you did perform or sang on one of their albums, or are you going to be reprising that over here or not?
Can I quote Ruth Keggan Gale on this? She said to me when I asked her if she were going to perform in one of her shows that she organised, and she said, "No, I'm wearing different hats." It's just really important to know when to step back and let someone else shine. And that's my intention with this one.
Okay, fair enough. And how have you found then moving? Because again, that's sort of three artistic communities. You're one starting off at home in Sweden, and then obviously being London, which is a huge melting pot of artists from around the globe. It has always been thus, I think, literally global village there of music. And then moving to the Isle of Man, a much smaller pond, how have you found the sort of artistic circle here on the island?
The talent is here. And I'm slowly understanding how it all fits together. But one of the reasons why we're doing the Waves of Wonder project is to really sort of try and help connect these little dots of creativity. There's so many platforms, but I feel that we could do more about connecting people on the island.
Have you actually enjoyed this first experience? As you say, it's I mean, there's always an awful lot of loose ends to tie up. It's always, as you say, a big gamble. It's not for virtually all of these events. It's not about making huge amounts of money. It's about bringing, like I said, bringing talent over, trying to share this talent, trying to sort of offer an opportunity for people to experience something maybe a little different.
Yes. For me personally, music is also about mental health. It's about stimulating the mind and understanding that we need to soothe our very busy brains.
And so if people want to find out more about Waves of Wonder, mm-hmm. about what you're doing, obviously the gig coming up with the Portico, is there, what's the best place to go? Is it best go to, is there a website or
yes.
contact you directly? What's best?
The best place is to go and buy a ticket mm-hmm. And to take part in this amazing event. We are at wavesofwonder.im, obviously, .im. And we use TicketSource. So if you go on the website, there's something that says get tickets, and then you put your cursor on top of that and click it, and it will take you to the ticket site.
Marvellous. And is there any other way, or at the moment, after this, will it then be a case of, have you got anything else in the pipeline, mm-hmm. or is it a case of get this one done first and then see how things are going to go forward after that?
I think that if we can break even on this one, I will definitely move forward with some amazing talent that I have in mind, both local and from across. Maybe even from further across. Da-da-da-da.
Loving the sound of it already. Well, listen, lovely to talk to you. Great to hear about Waves of Wonder here on the Isle of Man. Will you stay in touch and let us know what's happening after the Portico?
Love to do that. Thank you.
The Portico Quartet plays the King's Court Theatre on the 13th of September. Tickets are still available. Do check them out. Like all these things, unless people go, they won't happen again. Cornelia wanted to thank the Arts Council and the Steam Packet for their support via the company's Manx Community Assistance Scheme. I do hope that gig goes well and we can talk to Cornelia again, as it sounds a great project for the Isle of Man. But like all these things, as I said before, they only work if people get behind them. Now, we all know music is great to listen to and affects us in all sorts of different ways, each to their own. But there is a large amount of research to show that singing in particular, along with associated breathwork, can have very positive effects on our mental health and possibly even help block pain. Well, with that in mind, one of the island's best-known singers and singing teachers, Mandy Griffin, has just launched an online singing for wellbeing group for anyone interested, really. Particularly perhaps for those who can't get out and about for whatever reason. So, what would you call such a group?
It's going to be called Musical Chairs.
Great name.
The idea being that people will be in their chairs when they're doing it. One of my students came up with that name.
Good name. It is
so
good name,
I was very
extra
pleased.
Star for her.
Yeah, she got some chocolates for that. And so the idea is that singing for well-being and the good that singing can do both physically and mentally for people, the research into it is really starting to grow now, and the benefits are known, but breathing for lung health, for mental health, and we're very lucky on the island, as we were talking about just before, there are so many singing groups here, but not everyone can get out to those for whatever reason. So I was walking my dog one day, and I suddenly was mulling over this, like, what would be a good way that perhaps could remedy that? And I came up, I don't think it's a unique idea, other groups of this do exist around the world, but I came up with the idea of a singing for wellbeing group, which is completely online. It'll take place for an hour, and it'll just be a well-known song. We'll sing a well-known song, be that a Beatles song, an ABBA song, anything over the years. Maybe a bit of musical theatre, because I like that. And we'll go through that, and then sort of the last sort of 15 minutes or so will be an opportunity for everyone just to have a bit of a chat, to get to know each other, if they wish to. Some people might want to sit with their cameras completely dark and just participate quietly from that side of things, and that's fine too. So that's sort of the idea of it really. It's just a way for people, and this is also the good thing, because it'll be on Zoom, and if anyone has used Zoom, there's a bit of a time lag. So people will have to have their microphones on mute. So you really can sing as if no one's listening. Because no one will be listening. I'll sort of be leading things through and taking things through, and then people will be joining in, as I say, from their own homes, from their chairs, from their armchairs, from their sofas, wherever they wish to be.
So they'll all be able to see you on
see
their
me.
Screens,
yes.
And then the participants, they can choose presumably whether they are seen by the others or not.
That's the plan with it, really. And then we might, I'm going to see how it goes when it gets going. We might just have a bit of a chaotic, okay, everyone unmute your microphones, let's all sing together.
So on a sort of, as you say, the way it's going to work initially is that you'll be leading the singing, but you won't be able to hear the others singing.
Won't be able to hear the others because of the slight time lag.
Yeah, otherwise it'd all be a bit chaotic.
Yes,
But then maybe you might just let fly at the
just
end.
Just let fly at the end, yeah. I did some sessions when the lockdown was happening for the Arts Council, which was, that wasn't done via Zoom, it was via Facebook Live. But that was sort of a similar thing in that it was just a well-known song. And we sort of started off and we did some breathing and we did some singing exercises and a little bit of warm-ups to get things going. And then sort of led through a song. And the feedback from that was really positive.
Do you feel you've benefited from your singing over the years?
Definitely. Definitely so much. I think there's so much. I think that singing can help us unleash and express. And I'm sure the breathing helps with that as much as anything else. But there's a song to fit every mood, whatever you're going through. Someone's written a song about it and you can just unleash and let rip. And then you always feel so much better. I do anyway. I always feel so much better at the end of it. Breathing wise, singing does really, really great things for breathing. People who have COPD or any sort of lung difficulty. The breathing for that, the breathing for singing can make huge differences. Also studies done recently that singing for half an hour can have the same amount of pain relief as taking an ibuprofen.
Wow.
200 milligrams of ibuprofen.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. Studies are kind of ongoing into that and I don't know how they're measuring it, but it seems that sort of pain relief can also be a thing when you're singing as well. So the benefits are all round.
Fantastic. So people want to get involved, how they go about it?
I've got a website which is very straightforward, musicalchairs.im, and that has all the information about the sessions which are coming, starting in September.
And I'm sure it would bring benefits to whoever takes part. That's about it for now. We'll be back next week, of course. See you then. In the meantime, be good, and whatever you're doing, be creative about it. Kimo.